liberating, life-giving, Holy Trinity, three in one. Amen. Please be seated. Last fall, as we were preparing to celebrate the Feast of St. Francis in early October, I wondered why we also celebrated St. Clare alongside Francis, as she has her own feast day. What might have started as a well-meaning attempt at gender balance to add Clare alongside Francis, to me, had the opposite effect, foregoing Clare's feast day to mash her in with Francis. Poor St. Clare does get the short end of the stick. If I asked you to tell me something about St. Francis, you would probably have something to tell me about his bond with animals and the natural world, the wolf at Gubbio, or even the famous prayer attributed to him. And if I asked you about St. Clare, you might say, well, she knew Francis. Which is why I appreciate that the church has given her her own feast day. She deserves to stand on her own, because not only did she become a follower of Francis's way, ultimately, she spent her life following Christ. Like Francis, Clare was born into a life of privilege, wealth, and nobility. For a woman of her station in the 13th century, her life had one expected track: an advantageous marriage, producing children, and managing a noble household. Everything in Clare's society told her where her treasure should be. The writer of Ecclesiastes has a rather bleak assessment of all of this. Wealth comes and wealth goes. You can work hard, accumulate possessions, build a household, and make a name for yourself, and eventually you leave it all behind. Just as they came from their mother's womb, so shall they go again. The question isn't simply whether we have treasure, but whether the things we spend our lives accumulating are actually capable of giving us the life that we want. Clare sensed a different calling. On Palm Sunday, at 18 years old, she ran away from home to join the Franciscans, having given away all of her fancy gowns and entire dowry to the needy and cutting off her beautiful long hair. When her family came to retrieve her, she clung to the altar cloths until they acquiesced. She would eventually establish the convent at San Damiano, and lead that community for 40 years. It was Clare who, 2 days before her death, got official papal approval for the rule of life that she wrote that would ensure Francis's vision lived on. Clare did not simply become a nun. She chose and lived a life that no one could have imagined for a woman of her societal class. She eschewed marriage and children, not because those things were bad, but because Jesus was calling her to another way. Clare's story raises a larger question about what it means to live a life that is genuinely our own. Many female saints are remembered for their virginity, as if it were a moral achievement or a testament to their purity. But in the social construct of their time, this was a much more radical act, not solely about keeping themselves pure or untainted by sex, but refusing to let someone else determine the shape of their lives. Clare, Agnes, Ursula, Catherine of Siena, Scholastica, and Teresa, among countless others, claimed in ways their societies did not make easy that their lives belonged first and foremost to God and not a husband. Today, our pressures are different. The choice to marry or have children is a more private one than it was in medieval Italy. And while no one might be explicitly arranging our marriages, we are constantly told what should matter: our careers, successes, appearance, security, status, productivity, and so forth. Jesus's words still challenge us. Where is our treasure? One aspect of Clare's story that I find remarkable is that she lived 40 years in San Damiano, outliving Francis by over 25 years. She had no dramatic adventures, preached no famous sermons, and stayed in one place rather than roaming about the countryside. While Frances's life reminds us that sometimes God calls us into spectacular acts of courage, Claire's dedication and obedience remind us that God might also call us into decades of quiet fidelity. Fidelity through good times and bad, sickness and health, wealth and poverty. Most of you are probably not going to walk out of these doors and renounce your wealth and liquidate your retirement accounts tomorrow, or even go out and found a religious order. But maybe we do know what it is like to keep showing up, even when we don't feel like it. To keep showing up for our families, communities, and for God. We get a glimpse of what those 40 years of quiet faithfulness had made of Claire in the final days of her life. As she lay dying, she offered this blessing: "Go forth without fear, for God, who created you, has sanctified you, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Blessed be you, O God, for having created me." This is what Claire had to say at the end of her life. Not, "I wish I had accomplished more." Not, "I wish I had accumulated more." Not even, "Look at all that I gave up for God." Instead, she speaks of a God who created her, sanctified her, protected her, and loved her. And then she gives thanks simply for having been created. It is almost as though Claire had spent her entire life learning how to receive the gift that Jesus speaks of in today's gospel. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Jesus doesn't say, "Sell your possessions because possessions are evil." He says, "Do not be afraid." Because fear is what makes us cling. Fear says, "I need more. I need other people's approval. I need my life to look successful. I need to know that I have enough." Claire's life shows us another way. She trusted that God had already given her what mattered most. And so she could hold everything else loosely. Not because those things had no value, but because they were not her ultimate treasure. Claire's treasure was never poverty for its own sake. Her treasure was Christ. Poverty was simply what it looked like for her to keep her hands free enough to receive that treasure. Our calling may look very different. Following Jesus means that we too are called to holiness in the middle of our lives, in our families, our marriages, our careers, our communities and neighborhoods and churches. But Claire's question is still our question. What has captured our hearts? What treasure are we spending our lives to obtain? As we remember and celebrate Claire today, the invitation is not simply to give something up, but to become less afraid. To trust that God has already given us what we cannot earn and cannot lose. To live with open hands rather than clenched fists. And perhaps at the end of our lives, when we come to them, to be able to say with Claire, not "Look at everything I have accomplished," but simply, "Blessed be you, O God, for having created me." Because wherever our treasure is, there our hearts will be also.